We're doing the Ketur Shulchan Aruch Mekochayim. We're up to page Samech Gimel, the mitzvah of making Kiddush over wine. So the Torah gives us an obligation, a mitzvah, to sanctify the day of Shabbos orally with our speech. The Torah says one of the Ten Commandments is Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, remember, or orally make mention of the day of Shabbos. Zachor, to remember, means to remember in a way of praise. You mentioned the praise, the sanctity of Shabbos. So how do we do that? When Shabbos enters, we denote the fact that Shabbos entered. And when Shabbos leaves, that's the idea of Kiddush and Havdalah. We're stressing that the special day has come and that the special day has left. The rabbis instituted that Kiddush should be made over wine. But really, the Torah obligates us to sanctify with our mouths. We could do it in prayer just as well. So because we have this mitzvah, a person should do Kiddush right away when he comes home from shul. Because ideally, Kiddush is supposed to be at the beginning of the Shabbos. So as close to the beginning of Shabbos as you can have it, the earlier, the better. Before you make Kiddush Friday night, you're not supposed to eat anything. Kiddush is supposed to be the beginning. So we don't even drink water before Kiddush. So again, you're not supposed to eat anything before Kiddush, even water. And if you have eaten and drank, you still make Kiddush. Anytime you remember at night, sometimes a person's new to Judaism, he comes home, makes the amotzi, has the meal. Somewhere in the middle of the meal, his wife goes, "Hey honey, did we do Kiddush?" And he goes, "No, I forgot." Okay. So you make Kiddush right then. I had this in the hospital. I don't remember. I don't remember if it was when my wife gave birth, one of the kids, or we were there for a different reason. Yeah, we were there for a different reason. So Shabbos morning, we're standing in shul, and this guy walks in looking all groggy, and he says, "My wife was in labor all night. You see, he hasn't slept all night." And he comes into shul at like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning and says, "What do I do now?" So I said, "Make Kiddush." So he said, "Kiddush was last night's deal." I said, "Right, but you didn't do it last night, right?" He says, "Right, I couldn't stand there and eat anything next to her. She wasn't allowed to eat. I'm not allowed to eat, right?" Okay, so I said, "Okay, so then you make Kiddush now." If you forgot to make, or you couldn't make Kiddush at night, so you make Kiddush by day. Now you make the Friday night Kiddush, the one with the blessing. The blessing of Kiddush of Friday night. If you didn't get it at the beginning of the meal, you do it the middle of the meal. You didn't do it the middle of the meal, so you do it all day long. We say the Kiddush of the night. Now, you're not going to say Vayechulu. The whole Vayechulu is speaking about Friday night, that God completed his work Friday night. So there's no point in saying Vayechulu, but the blessing you do say. The blessing of Kiddush you say, even on the day of Shabbat, if you missed it at night. So
you skip that first part.
And begin with the blessing. Shemaim? You begin with, Birshut Rabotai, if there are people there with Shemaim. And then the blessing of Bori Priagafen, and then the blessing of Kiddush, let's say a person has only one cup of wine. You'll see when you get married that the first few Shabbatot, you forget. 1 week you forget the wine, 1 week you forget the challahs, 1 week you forget the plata. It takes time until you get used to all the things it takes to make a Shabbos work. So you come into Shabbos and you suddenly realize you went down on this camping trip and all you have for Kiddush is this little glass of wine. So what do you use it for? Kiddush of the night, Kiddush of the day, Havdalah, what do you do? So we say you make Kiddush Friday night on that cup, because the Friday night Kiddush is closer to being biblical. If you didn't pray Friday night, then the Kiddush is biblical. If you did pray Friday night, so then your Kiddush is rabbinic, because technically you sanctified the day in your prayer. You said words of sanctification in the Friday night prayer. A person who is married, so if his wife prays Friday night, so then she also did her biblical obligation in prayer. But if she did not pray Friday night, which is what happens in most homes, so then she is biblically obligated for Kiddush. If he is going to fulfill his biblical obligation in prayer, so then when he comes home at night, all he has to do is make the rabbinic institution of Kiddush, How does he do it on her behalf when she's biblically obligated and he is no longer biblically obligated, right? You can't do something for someone if you're not obligated in it. If you already fulfilled your biblical obligation in prayer, you can't make the biblical kiddush for her. So the assumption is that if you know you have to make kiddush for your wife when you get home Friday night, so then you really do not want to fulfill your biblical obligation in prayer. Even though technically you could, but you wouldn't want to because you want to make kiddush for your wife. So there's this unspoken clause that if you have to make kiddush for your wife Friday night, then the assumption is you do not want to be yotzei, you do not want to fulfill your biblical obligation with prayer. Now, Friday night you have to make kiddush. So you take the cup of wine and make kiddush over it. Now, if you were to sip from that cup of wine, so there's a halachic concept called pigima. Pigima is simply the idea that after you sip from a cup of wine, it's not as good as it was before, even to yourself. There's a difference between wine that has not been drunk from and wine that someone did take a sip from. And we say that by sipping from a cup of wine, you've diminished its value. So the halacha says if you want to give it back its value, you have to pour in fresh wine or water. But you have to do something to replenish, to bring it back to that pristine state, so to speak, of untasted wine. You don't have any way of adding wine to your little cup of wine you have with you on this camping trip. So what we say is, right after you make kiddush, pour out of your cup into another cup. So you won't sip from the original cup. You'll sip from your second cup. You'll pour a little bit of wine into another cup, and you'll drink that. And then the original cup, whatever wine is left, is not pagum, because no one's drank from it yet.
So everyone has the kiddush cup?
We usually finish our kiddush cup.
But you have reduced it.
You've reduced it, but you haven't sipped from it. The issue is the sipping from it. Tomorrow morning, you'll make kiddush on the remainder of the first cup. Now, if you only have an exact minimum amount, so then in the morning you won't have a revis, you won't have enough. So then tomorrow you'll add some water. We're going to see in a minute that there's a lot of laws of kiddush. One of the laws, for example, is that ideally the cup should be full to the top. So I remember we had this when we had this more than once, where we have a big kiddush cup. It's much more than a revius, and we didn't have that much wine for Shabbos. We had enough for two cups of a revius for Friday night and Shabbos day, but we didn't have enough for this big kiddush cup. And if I drink from it again, I have a problem that I was pogem, right? I diminished its value. So technically, I could add water. What do you do? Sometimes, let's say, you're invited out for Shabbos day. So you have enough for Friday night for a revius, but it doesn't fill the cup. So what do? So the halacha says you take a few rocks, you put them on the bottom of the cup, and then the cup fills to the top.
Yes!
So, okay, we don't work with rocks today. So what did I do? I added ice. So it doesn't look so conventional, right, to make kiddush with the ice floating in your wine. But Nalaga says, put a few rocks in your cup to make the cup look full to the top. So they had clean rocks. You have to remember, in the days of Chazal, they used rocks all the time for different things. They had their designated rocks at home, which were clean and were used for different uses in the kitchen too. We don't have any clean rocks. So to us, it's like you're putting pebbles in your wine.
Why not just use a smaller cup?
I didn't have a smaller cup.
No, no, not a. You said you had a huge kiddush cup.
Right.
You didn't have a smaller cup in the house?
I don't think so, no. Most of your cups are bigger than a revius. No, it's mine.
Oh, okay.
Most of your cups are going to be bigger than a revius.
Okay.
So if you have a revius, this is more than a revius. This is more than a revius. Mm. Even your average plastic cup is more than a revius.
Kids' cups? Can you use a plastic cup?
You could use a plastic cup. Part of the honor we give to Kiddush is that we try to use a nicer cup. But I'm saying it's a simple solution. You add ice. So it doesn't look so traditional. But
it's still on the rocks.
It's still on the rocks, right. Right. So I remember my guests looking at me like, Rabbi, you're teaching us something new? This is like a new custom? Okay, this isn't the new custom. I didn't have enough wine to fill the cup, but I had my revius, and ideally the cup should be full. So when we come to make Kiddush, so we're going to have bread on the table, what we call challah, and the bread should be covered from beneath and from above. Now, technically, the tablecloth is enough under the challah. We do a designation. We have a special either challah board or a special handkerchief under the challah and another one on top. The idea is we're commemorating the man, which came down with a covering beneath it and a covering over it. So that's why our challah has two coverings. Technically, when you're coming to eat, you would have to make a blessing over bread or cake before you make a blessing over wine. Over here, because of Kiddush, we give the wine precedence. We're going to make a blessing over the wine, a borei pri agafen, and before the blessing over the bread. So because of that, we cover the bread. We're saying if I'm going to give the wine precedence, when halachically I should give the bread precedence. So the halacha says, okay, so cover the bread. Alternatively, in the days of Chazal, they used to have trays that people ate on. They had these tables that would move in and out. And when people would sit down for the meal, they'd make their blessing over the wine, and then the waiter would bring in the table. Everyone would have their own personal little table with the food on it. So today, where you don't have these removable tables, so you're not going to take the bread in and out and make your kiddush and then bring in the bread. So instead, we just cover the bread when we make the kiddush. So these are three different angles as to why the bread is covered. Either we're commemorating the man, or because we're going to make a blessing over the wine before the bread, or because in the days of Chazal, they could actually have tables that went in and out. We don't have that, so we just cover the bread until we finish with the wine. You understand this is part of the second reason of giving precedence to the wine. So technically, you could leave the bread out of the room. Instead, we cover it.